G'day, audience. How are we doing? If you've been invested in growth stocks, you've probably been having a bit of a rough go of it. But that's all right. That's just how it is sometimes. So this week, we'll do a market recap. And I also had a lot of questions about, you know, what makes stocks move, etc., particularly around like earnings release dates and so on. So we'll dive into all that. So first with the update. So what's going on? Well, we've just had earnings, and I guess the main theme going on at the moment is that obviously COVID was a beneficiary for a lot of tech companies, marketplaces, anything online, anything work from home oriented benefited from, you know, the pandemic. So and because they benefited from the pandemic, you know, investors knew that the big growth rates that a lot of these companies had, and we'd talked about it, a lot of the growth that companies had that were tech enabled and benefiting from the pandemic, that growth was growth pulled forward. And what that means is the pandemic shifted people online more. And so, you know, growth that might have taken these companies a couple of years to get, they were getting all in one big hit, one big sugar high during the COVID period. But then the interesting thing that investors were all looking out for was how much did they benefit from COVID? And the way we were going to see that was in the first kind of normal quarter, 1 year after COVID. So essentially the pandemic hit in kind of like late March. And then, you know, so the quarters, for those of you who don't know, the quarters are January to March, roughly. Different companies and kind of different countries have different kind of quarter layouts. But roughly speaking, in the US, it's January to March, April to June, and then July to September, and then October to December. Those are the four quarters of the year. And so if we go back to when the pandemic started, it started at the end of March. All the big restrictions and fears kicked in at the end of March. So at the end of the first quarter of 2020 was kind of when the pandemic hit. And then, you know, the next kind of quarter after that, so the second quarter of 2020, you know, society was in shock. Everyone was focused on getting like the bare essentials. So it wasn't really a normal quarter there either, because the world was kind of getting used to COVID and getting used to all the restrictions and getting used to what, like, normal life again with the whole work from home and stuff. So the second quarter of 2020 wasn't really a normal quarter either. And then the third quarter, you know, the world had gotten used to COVID, and then the fourth quarter gotten used to COVID, and, you know, here we are. So what investors were looking out for, so we just had all the earnings results for that second quarter of 2021, okay? So we just had all the results from April, May, and June of this year, and investors were looking for how those results compared to the results of last year, second quarter, because they wanted to see, okay, second quarter of 2020, people were like starting to shift a lot online, and how has the growth been from then? And the reason that was important was that investors wanted to see, you know, how much growth had been pulled forward, how much of the growth was sustainable, because investors were all really worried that, you know, all these companies had these big benefits from COVID, and they wanted to see how rapidly they were subsiding in this quarter that we just had compared to that second quarter of last year, where, you know, I guess it was a normal-ish quarter. Everyone had kind of started to shift online maybe halfway through that quarter. So investors are just trying to see, the market's trying to see how much of that growth can we expect going forward? Or are all these companies, you know, is their growth going to fall off a cliff now that they don't have the pandemic benefiting them massively? That's essentially where the market was thinking. And so, you know, a lot of tech stocks got smashed. It was really, really quite brutal, harsh sell-offs. You know, there's the US reopening and investors have been kind of off growth stocks for the last like 5 months now. But a lot of like tech growth stocks got punished on not bad earnings results, right? Like some companies still grew, you know, decently well, despite having difficult, we call them tough comps. Tough comps means it's a tough comparison because they had such a boost in the second quarter of last year. And so to grow on top of that again is going to be a bit tricky. But it wasn't, I don't know, for me personally, I don't think the second quarter of 2020 was a completely normal COVID quarter either, right? Because, you know, it probably took maybe about the first third of that quarter was like the world being like, what the fuck, I've got to get toilet paper, I've got to get all this stuff. They weren't really thinking about like, you know, then their everyday kind of online or normal shopping requirements. So, you know, who knows? So essentially a lot of these techie growth stocks are quite very, very reasonably priced. I have been quite surprised. Like we always knew growth was quite expensive, but I guess how much those valuations have come down is really quite surprising. And you know, I don't care how much it goes down. I'm just going to buy more of it. And you learn to see it like that. Like you've got to see stock movements as a win-win. If you buy a stock and then it immediately shoots up, it's a win. Great. You've gained straight away. But usually when a stock does that, you also, you know, you probably can't buy more of it. You know what I mean? Like when I bought Upwork, you know, last year, and it rose so rapidly, so quickly, the value, like I couldn't buy any more of it because it went up so quickly, so fast to valuations that I didn't think were reasonable. And so, you know, it's kind of a downside when that happens because you can't add to, you can't build the position to be bigger. And so, whereas when a stock goes down, yes, it hurts because it's money or whatever, but it also means you can buy more of it and you can buy more of it more aggressively. And so you've just got to see kind of the up and down as a positive, because it is a positive each way it goes. Anyway, so that's where we're at. I think a lot of kind of tech marketplaces or lots of tech stocks are quite reasonably priced. I really like Poshmark and First Dibs. I still like Wish. I know a lot of you probably want to murder me and murder Wish, but you know, that's just my perspective. And so if what's important to do here, and we'll go into what moves stocks up and down in a second, but what's important to do is actually look at the quarterly results and kind of stack them, you know, from Q1 20. So from the first quarter of last year, second quarter of last year, third, fourth, you know, and then the first and second quarters of this year. I don't ever really look at the quarterly results, okay? But in this instance, it's hard to get a grasp of where a company's kind of growth rates are at the moment. And the way you can check that out is by looking at the quarterly results. And you look at the quarter-on-quarter growth rate. So let's say you're looking at a company and it's got, you know, for the last three quarters, it's grown 10% quarter-on-quarter. Okay, that kind of turns into an annualized. So it's growing 10% per quarter. On a year basis, that's roughly like a 40% growth rate. And it just helps you kind of get a grasp of how much companies are actually growing, you know, as we come out of, especially for the kind of tech COVID beneficiary companies, because you just want to see where, because if you look at the year-on-year growth rates, you know, like I said, the second quarter of last year was still not a perfectly normal quarter because everyone was still kind of shocked by this whole pandemic thing. And so if you look at the second quarter results of, if you look at a company's second quarter results that they just published and they go, wow, we grew 50% year-on-year. Yeah, that's great, but last year's quarter wasn't completely normal and you were probably just starting to get your COVID benefits kicking in. And so the really interesting quarters, the quarters that will really show a company's kind of growth rate, is the next quarter, Q3. Because Q3 of last year, everyone had adjusted to kind of lockdown world. Everyone had already shifted to online everything. And so it'll be interesting to see how that company's growth rate year on year compares in the third quarter, which is in 3 months' time, compared to the third quarter of last year. Because the third quarter of this year, you know, economies are reopening, people are getting outside more in the US, not here in Australia, because our government's a little bit incapable, but whatever. So the third quarter of this year will be really revealing, but you can get clues by looking at the quarter-on-quarter growth rates before that. You don't want to have to wait 3 more months, you know, to kind of get an indication of where a company's growth rate's at. So just look at the quarter-on-quarter growth rates, and you'll see for some of them, like, once you do that, it might become more obvious why a company sold off after their earnings that they just reported or whatnot. And you might see, you know, a rapid slowdown in their growth rate when you look at the quarterly as compared to the year-on-year. So just be wary of that. But yeah, in terms of the market overall, like, I'm a value investor by it. That's kind of my main orientation from day one. I'm more aligned to value than I am to growth. But value just isn't... The value stocks are just too pricey. I can't see any value in the kind of value section of the market. And so I've been definitely buying more growth recently, especially because some of these names, right? Like, you if you want to stay out of trouble, if the growth rates are all too confusing, and, you know, some companies have these really lumpy growth rates, like it'll be quarter on quarter, like 50%, then 5%, then minus 10%. If the growth rates are confusing you, just go back to basics, okay, and just figure out the theoretical free cash flow margin and just give it a 20x multiple. Just give it a 20x. 20 is a nice, safe multiple for a company that's kind of growing, okay? You'd pay 20x for a company that's growing, you know, even if a company's only growing like 5% a year, you'd pay 20x. So if you're looking at a company that's, you know, historically been growing a lot, and maybe the stock's been absolutely smashed, and you're like, oh, I don't know where the growth rates are going to line up or end up here, just give it a standard 20x, because that's pretty much where a lot of the value stocks are priced, if not even higher. Clothing is at like 20x, which is ridiculous, because clothing historically, it's a cyclical company. They're cyclical companies, so they're typically at like a 10 to 15x. Same with all the car manufacturers, are all really overpriced. So like, a lot of the historically value industries are quite expensive at the moment. So it is a bit of a tricky market. But remember, you don't have to buy stuff. Like, you don't have to be fully invested. You don't. And that's kind of something even I'm still learning, is I'm just so used to, okay, I've always got to have all my money invested, even if, and I probably should have noticed this more in around February when everything was really, really expensive and taking off, is that you just find that you've, like, there's nothing for you to invest in. There's nothing that kind of meets your personal valuation criteria and quality criteria to invest in. And if you're feeling that way, then go with your gut and just sit on your hands and wait. It's probably hindsight's 20/20 there. But I remember in February, I was like, there's just really not that much out there. Not that much. That's like a really good value buys. But I still went out and just stayed fully invested anyway. And then all these valuations came down, and, you know, I've suffered in the process, but you learn. You live and you learn. So yeah, so that's what I advise. If there is a growth company, just give it a, find out the theoretical free cash flow margin for that kind of business type. And then just give it a 20x multiple. 20 is nice and safe. If a company's growing, you know, anything more than like 10%, a 20x is very reasonable price to pay. And 20x is also a reasonable enough multiple that it's doesn't have a lot of downside. Like, a growth company, like, you know, it's not going to go below a theoretical multiple of less than 20. And so that's where First Dibs is at the moment. That's where Poshmark is at the moment. Wish is well below that, but I'm going to stop pushing that whole thing. on you guys. So they're out there. So that's the market at the moment. I think growth is where you want to be. This negative sentiment towards growth has persisted a little longer than it usually does, but you know, who knows when the tide will turn. And you might be kicking yourself if you don't jump on these very cheap valuations for growth stocks at the moment. And like I said, I would be interested in value if there was any out there, but I just can't really see it at the moment. All right, so that's the market update. Now, what moves stocks? What moves stock prices? So around earnings time, there are different factors that move stocks compared to non-earnings periods. So around earnings, okay, around earnings, there's three factors that will move a stock after they release their earnings. The biggest factor is probably guidance, okay? Remember, Wall Street's investment time horizon is pretty much less than a year, okay? They're in a company for less than a year. So when a company reports their guidance, they usually report their guidance for that financial year and the next quarter. And that's why Wall Street, you know, has that time horizon, because they rely on management's guidance a lot. So guidance will move the stock quite a bit. Okay. It's not so much the actual results they report. Yes, the results they report are a factor, but it's more the guidance, because the stock market's always looking kind of 3 months ahead. It's always looking 3 months ahead. And that's why when the COVID first hit and the stock market absolutely collapsed, once, you know, Trump released his stimulus bill, the stock market just completely like corrected itself, because investors were thinking about the implementation of the bill and the next quarter. They had already kind of forgotten about the immediate present, which was the pandemic. So it's always looking into the future. And so guidance is probably, I would say, the biggest dictator of where a stock goes. But playing into that are the valuation. So if a company has a, you know, pathetic value, like a very cheap valuation going into earnings, and then they report results which are, they don't even have to be good. They just have to be not as shit as the valuation kind of implied. So you've got the company's valuation coming into earnings. If the valuation is high, then the expectations are high for the results, okay? And so if that company, even for example, Pinterest's quarterly results smashed expectations from Wall Street, but the stock still fell 20%. And that was because of the guidance. So guidance kind of trumps the other factors. The next factor would be valuation. And then the next factor would be kind of expectations on the actual results release. So if your valuation's really high going in, Wall Street has high expectations, and even if you beat them, if your guidance is bad, the stock will fall off. And that's because the valuation is high, the expectations are high. The expectations are high not just for these results that you're reporting, but expectations are high for the guidance that you're going to give. And so if either of those fail, stock gets pumped. So that's kind of what moves stocks around earnings. And then what tends to happen, roughly speaking, is if a stock takes off after earnings, shoots up, it'll shoot up really, really high over the next few days. All this, you know, positive sentiment flux in. And then, you know, and then the sellers will start to sell. And so the stock price will then start to come down over, you know, slowly over the preceding kind of weeks after that. So if a stock does well at earnings, it'll kind of shoot up and then slowly sell down, right? So if you're looking for an exit, like if there's a company that you want to sell out of after they report good earnings, you want to do it kind of straight away as soon as they report the earnings. And then the opposite happens when it's bad. So the stock will come in, it'll collapse, and then it tends to be the worst as soon as they release the earnings, and then it will slowly increase after days as like people start to see the buyers flock in. Essentially, after a stock crashes from earnings, the buyers will come in, they'll see value where other people don't, and the stock will gradually go up. So if you're looking at buying a stock around earnings time, the best time is kind of as soon as they report those earnings. That's the general pattern, very general. It doesn't apply to everything. Sometimes a company will report earnings and then they'll just continue to fall after the initial drop. Very roughly speaking, that's how it works. And then, okay, so that's what happens around earnings. It's all based on guidance, valuation, and then kind of like expectations. And then the other thing I guess you should look at, which is what we just talked about, is the sequential growth. And by sequential, it means quarter on quarter. So that can also move stock prices, but it's usually tied to the guidance anyway. So it's all about guidance around earnings. What will a company, you know, produce in the next quarter? What are they going to tell us about? And, you know, some people like love guidance. Like some investors purely trust guidance every single time. And that's because, you know, companies just reported, you know, now this week, it's mid-August. So they're already halfway through the quarter that they're guiding for. And so a lot of the time they'll just go, all right, so our guidance is based on the half the quarter that we've had, if it just keeps doing at this rate or based on these trends, here's our guidance. So some people really love guidance. More conservative investors don't trust guidance essentially ever. I'm torn. Sometimes I'll use guidance if I'm really stuck and I can't kind of figure out where things are going. Other times I won't use guidance. It's a useful tool. Okay. Look, use guidance, note the guidance. But I wouldn't solely base my entire investment thesis on the guidance, because if management gets the guidance wrong or they're like a little bit cheeky and kind of, because some companies can give sandbagging guidance, which is when they purposely give a low guidance so that they will beat those numbers that they report so they don't disappoint investors, whereas other management will be the opposite. They'll just give these very optimistic guidances and they'll never meet them. So, you know, be careful who you trust. So then, all right, so we have earnings. Those are the things that move stocks around, earnings. And then after earnings, what moves stocks kind of between earnings reports? This past year's been very, definitely last year, was very macro-driven. Very, very driven by, you know, government spending, the COVID, like all these non-company specific kind of factors were driving stocks last year. And then a little bit into this year, you know, inflation was moving stocks. And inflation is still turning investors off growth. And then just general sentiment towards certain industries. To keep track of all that stuff, you've got to be looking at, you know, things like the consumer price index. And if, you know, if it's an advertising company, you got to look at like advertising rates and all these weird data points that it's all public information. You can find it. There's all these research bureaus that, or like if you're investing in airlines, you know, like monthly airport numbers, you know, those are the things, those kind of metrics are what, you know, the big financial firms kind of look at to see what should move a stock kind of between earnings and to get an idea of what will happen at earnings time. So yeah, that's pretty much what drives stocks. And again, it's when it's not around earnings, even when it is around earnings, at the end of the day, it's just sentiment, what the market feels like liking, what the market doesn't feel like liking. So you never really know. you can't, it's really hard to predict. Although you'll notice that like, you'll start to notice like overvalued stocks heading into earnings. Like you'll get really good at being like, that's super overvalued. That's going to have a tough time at earnings season, and it will. But then there'll also be times where you're like, oh, this is so undervalued. Like I'm going to buy it into earnings and it's going to upside surprise. And they do report good earnings, but then the stock just still sells off and you're like, what? Like, especially this earnings season was very bizarre. I usually thought I was kind of good at predicting, you know, which way certain things will go. But this earnings season, I had a shocker. The market just had a mind of its own. And it was really a brutal earnings in terms of the market reaction. Everything just sold off. But, you know, that gives lots of good opportunities. Like, I really like Casper again. Like, recommended that ages ago. Now it's back down. Parts ID is another one I really like. They're essentially, you guys are going to get so sick of these marketplaces. But the reason I like marketplaces is that, you know, you're always told to diversify, and that diversifying is really important, you know, having investments in different industries, in different parts of the economy, so that, you know, if there's a downturn in one part of the economy, your stock portfolio won't suffer. And the good thing about marketplaces is there are marketplaces for different industries. You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about Poshmark, which is a clothing marketplace. We've talked about kind of healthcare marketplaces and job recruiting marketplaces. And so there's all these marketplaces which are technically in different parts of the economy. And so it can be a way to get kind of like it's a way to be diversified. If that's something you really care about and you really believe in, these marketplaces allow you to be invested in kind of the tech part of different industries. Because, like, I'm not going to be investing in like the industrial industry, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, this company, Parts ID, they're a car parts marketplace. And so that way you get exposure to the industrials industry. And, you know, there's healthcare ones. So if, like, you're not really medically trained, or like you don't understand, you know, different drugs and stuff like that, like, how are you going to invest in healthcare? So hard. So there's like healthcare marketplaces, and, you know, it's just, that's why I kind of like them. Anyway, that does it for this week. If I will just talk about Wish, because I don't want everyone to think, I know I pushed Wish, talked about it a lot. I really liked Wish, and, you know, I still do. It's got really strong backers behind it, like Peter Thiel, if you've ever heard of him. He's really quite a big shot, and he has had crazy success in investing. Like, he's the guy behind Palantir and PayPal and all sorts of other things, like Compass Therapeutics. He's quite a smart cookie, and he's big on Wish. He's a big backer of Wish. And, you know, Amazon tried to buy Wish, so Bezos saw value in Wish. Like, I know it's been a painful ride, and I know I keep saying, you know, it's so cheap, and it still is so cheap. I guess in these earnings, Wish took a big hit, and quite surprised me was that its quarter-on-quarter comparison, the revenue from its overall revenue was kind of flat, which is whatever. But what was quite alarming was that its users year on year, the amount of its users used was like, it's like a 25% drop in its users, which is bad, which is quite bad. It's worse than what it was, you know, in 2017 for the company. So Wish has had a lot of growth pulled forward. But, you know, even if the valuation is just obscenely ridiculous, because the marketplace model they have is huge profit margin. It's like 20% profit margins. So even if you say its marketplace revenue will fall by 50%, okay, will fall by 50% from 2 billion to 1 billion. That 1 billion gets a 20% free cash flow margin. That's its free cash flow, right? Remember we said the logistics is worth nothing. The margins are so shit, just ignore it. Then Wish is now on like a 7x multiple, even when you factor in a 50% drop in revenue for the year. Like, it's just so cheap. And, you know, this is what makes investing hard, right? It always seems like, oh yeah, you just buy it when it's down, no stress, but you're not always going to buy it at the exact bottom. And so you're usually buying it a little bit early, and you're feeling the pain of the fall as it goes all the way to the bottom. So, you know, and if you don't like that, like if it's super distressing and it's painful to watch like 20% drop after 20% drop, then just don't invest in, you know, invest in a different way. Go. The problem is when you invest in stuff that is always going up, you essentially become a trader. You know what I mean? You just become, it's just trading. And I don't know. I've learned to be okay with it. But, you know, if it's distressing and painful for you to feel these big 20% drops every now and then, it keeps going down and there's red everywhere, then maybe you should try a different investing style other than mine. And, you know, there's no harm in doing that. Everyone's got their own way. That's the cool thing about investing. It's kind of like artistic. Everyone has their own style. But, yeah, I guess time will tell. Give it another year and we'll see where all of this ends up. All right. Enjoy your week. I will see you next week, hopefully. Sorry for being MIA. I had night shift last week on the COVID wards and I was tired. but I'll see you guys next week. Bye.